Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Officially back talking sports with the 12th man, joined by my crew.
Yeah, you're
right.
We're excited to
get Gary, aka Bodybuilder, back into the fray here, man. You know, he sent us all those picks, man. I don't know, man. I'm still trying to figure out what that was, but it's all good. It's all good. We have a lot to dive into on this July 19th day.
I wish I knew y'all lied on
the show, man. So, without further ado, we're gonna get to everyone. But first and foremost, JQ, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh man, I can't complain, bro. Here, ready to talk some sports with y'all. No baseball today. We had an early game. I told them, "Nah, I got a real job. I can't do that." So, chilling out, bro.
Fuck, man. All right. No more strippers.
The Raiders won tonight too, so you should be happy.
Say what?
Yeah, Reyes won the day too, didn't he?
Yeah, about time.
Yeah, Reyes have had a little, even getting whipped up by the Diamondbacks. I don't know what the hell's happening with that, but that's all good. We're gonna talk about that later. But Rob Ford, how you feeling this season, sir?
Man, doing fabulous, Doc. Ready to get this party started and make it do what it do.
I thought about you, Rob, because they had these asparagus snacks, man, and I thought about you, man. So, you know, it's like asparagus candy, man. I'm going to see if I can make that happen, man. So stay tuned, man.
Asparagus candy? Man, that don't sound
right,
like it should go together.
Hey, man. Hey, you, man. It's all good, man.
No asparagus today, though. I'm sure I'll make up for it tomorrow. I had some Brussels sprouts tonight.
Brussels sprouts. All right.
All right.
Doing good.
There you
doing
go, Gary. Good. Follow that one, Gary. Follow that, sir.
Hey, that may be our new sponsors, Brussels sprouts. That's what I hear, anyway.
Yeah, we missed you last week.
Let's do it.
In your world.
Packing the house up, and you know, it's the idea of you know, selling, buying something somewhere else, whatever, that's fine and dandy. But then after you actually sell the house and you've got the realization that the packing, the moving, and all that stuff, that's sucks.
Yeah,
right.
I can imagine. We've been in this house since 2002, so if we had to move, man, that would be, man. That would be nuts, man. So I feel you, man. So good stuff. But anyway, we miss you. We cannot wait to talk some sports. And as they say, let's get this party started. So really quickly, back in our normal format, yeah, I appreciate you guys last week again. Can't wait till the opportunity for us to go on a Facebook Live, something we'll toy around with. I think that's something we want to probably do in the next couple of weeks. So just stay tuned and it'll be interesting, right, to see if we can actually pull this off. So I'm excited about that and all. We'll see if kind of a day that kind of works, if we're going to go on our normal night like a Tuesday or what you guys are thinking, or if you want to kind of switch it to Rob Thursday or Wednesday, whatever works best. And we'll see how that plays out. But without further ado, let me throw out the numbers. As always, if you want to reach out to your boys, you can always call us on the same number, the 424-243-9519. Follow us on Twitter, at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, If you go to Facebook.com, yeah, which we're going to be live, slash Talking, excuse me, 12 Man Sports, or if you type in Talking Sports, the 12 Man, you will find us in that arena as well. We post all of our blog talks. We post mock drafts, especially Rob, and any relevant things that are happening. We try to keep that engaged as well. So let's kick this bad boy off here, and we're going to start out with you, Gary. We're going to show you some love to the Cowboys. I'm not going to say Cowgirls is Rob, but there may be some trouble in the ranks here. We've had some situations where Zach Martin, he apparently wants a new contract. He's not happy with the fact that the Cowboys are not trying to negotiate with him. So what should the Cowboys do? So this is you, Gary. You kind of start this off, and there you go.
Well, as far as Zach Martin goes, he's their best lineman, and he's one of the best linemen in the league. All pro, and you know he's renegotiated. His rep met with the Cowboys in February briefly, and then they reworked his deal in March, 7-year, $93 million contract. But overall, he's still $7 million shy of the top, you know, guards in the league. So I think that they need to do something with him. The problem with it is he's also, you know, as far as he's restructured his deal every year for the cap space. This year it's $12 million of his $13.5 million salary is restructured. So he's been working with them on that. I think it's time for them to work with him. The problem with that is, like with any team, is in these times and the budgets that these teams have, when you've got players like, you know, CeeDee Lamb, Diggs, Parsons, that are going to get big deals, it's hard to do that. But Zach Martin is one of those guys, too, that's important to that offensive line. So they will probably get something done. I'm hoping they do.
Yeah,
you gotta have Pollard for that too, don't you?
Yeah,
Pollard.
Yeah, but as we'll talk about later in the show, that you know the running back situation is, you know, it's just less important in today's NFL. That's why I didn't mention Pollard at that particular with these, but because these are going to be mega contracts, Pollard's won't be.
That could be true. The only reason why I mentioned Pollard in that is that because if you get to the point where having you got the franchise, you want to be able to use that franchise most likely on Pollard because it's going to be a lower number, and that affects what you can do with the other ones because you don't have that franchise tag to use as a leverage point for the Cowboys.
Right.
Yeah, and it looked like Pollard, you know, he's already signed his franchise tender, so it looked like he's going to play under that franchise tag this year, unlike the other two running backs. Well, we don't know what's going to happen with Saquon and Josh Jacobs this season. You know, are they going to really hold out? We know they're not going to report to training camp, so you can forget about that. And so we'll see if they sign it right before the start of the regular season or not. But, you know, Pollard is already signed here, so I guess the Cowboys feel a little comfortable there. But, yeah, they got to work out something with Zach Martin's situation. So he's threatening to hold out, and he's threatening to sit out training camp. But in his case, he's under contract, right? So, I mean, he's going to be fine for not reporting. So, you know, we'll see how well that goes or if they can reach an agreement before training camp starts.
Well, the franchise tags for these players has gone up this year. For a quarterback, it's $32.4 million. For a wide receiver, gone up to $19.7 million. But for running backs, it went down from $10.9 million to $10.1 million. So that's where how they value that. That's just today's NFL.
Yeah, you go back 20 years ago, it's strange because the running back position was more valued than the wide receiver position. But how things have changed in the NFL, it's unbelievable. Yeah, the wide receivers are now becoming a key position. I mean, you have to have good wide receivers to be competitive in the league now with the passing game. So they have definitely become a higher value position than the running back position is today. I mean, hey, the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl last year, And they picked Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round a few years ago. But the running back that starred the most in the Super Bowl matchup was Isaiah Pacheco. And
Pacheco.
He was a seven-round draft pick. So, I mean, that just goes to show you why teams are devaluing the running back position, because they're able to find talent in lesser rounds and still being able to be competitive. And I mean, that's just the nature of the beast. I mean, hey, fathers out there, you got any sons playing football, hey, you want them to be a quarterback? You know, if they big and strong, put them at left tackle. defensive end, corner, or wide receiver right now. Those seem to be the big money positions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy when you think about that, too, as far as just how that position has kind of taken an interesting drop for sure. So, and this is going to literally go right into the next situation, Rob. If you want to talk about that as well, talk about the running back and the contract situation. I don't know, that's kind of a nice segue right into that as well.
Yeah. I think we kind of already moved to that. But,
yeah.
I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen with Josh Jacobs and Saquon Barkley. And I don't know if y'all heard today, I think Saquon Barkley was asked, you know, what kind of leverage he has. And he says, I can just tell the Giants and my teammates, F you. it's weird, but, you know, it's unfortunate. You know, I think the Giants' game plan going into this offseason was to sign Saquon Barkley to a long-term deal and put the franchise tag on Daniel Jones. But they flipped that when they couldn't sign Saquon. That's when they reached a long-term deal with Daniel Jones. But their number one goal was to reach a long-term deal with Saquon and franchise Daniel Jones. But like I said, they had to flip that game plan because they couldn't reach a deal with Barkley. But, you know, it's unfortunate for Saquon because, you know, the scary thing for him, we saw what happened when Le'Veon Bell sat out a whole season. When he came back, he was not the same football player. And, I mean, he was never the same after that. And, you know, I don't know if he shouldn't have left Pittsburgh, but the bottom line is he sat out that entire season and he was not the same football player at all. He was never the Le'Veon Bell that we saw with Pittsburgh after holding out a season. So it's a big gamble for Saquon Barkley. Do you sit out a season and maybe lose, you know, some of the football skills or lose a step just from sitting out a season? You know, it's definitely a big gamble.
Well, I'm not gonna compare him, because Le'Veon Bell is an idiot, and I don't believe that Le'Veon Bell was, you know, taking care of himself like I believe Saquon takes care of himself and the way I believe Josh Jacobs takes care of himself. Like, you can see Le'Veon out here trying to fight people for money and all that. I hear what you're saying, but I think that's a different situation. And Saquon is a workout monster, right? He's out there squatting 500 and keeps himself in really good shape. So I don't know if I compare it. I get what you're saying. But I think it's going to end up going on a case-by-case basis, because if I'm Saquon, and Josh Jacobs for that matter too, I'm going to say, okay, you get David Jones that money, see if he can carry you. Garoppolo, for real? See if he can carry you. Because we all know that without Saquon last year, they don't make the playoffs. So you give him that money, you chose him over me. Okay, I'm going to give you every opportunity to watch Daniel Jones shit the bed without me back there to keep defenses honest. And then we can come back and talk about the money I'm going to get. Now, not everybody is going to get that kind of money or have that kind of leverage, but I think Saquon, given what he means to the Giants, and hell, didn't Josh Jacobs lead the league in rushing last year? Like, he was the Raiders' offense.
He did.
Those, to me, are two different situations than I think some of the other ones are going to come up. And think about it. You talk about Le'Veon Bell. Maybe Pittsburgh knew something we didn't know, right? And I hate Pittsburgh, but they're watching this dude every day. They was like, man, listen, we're not going to give this fool no money. We already gave A.B. some money, gave him some money. We saw what happened with him. And they probably looked at his work ethic and was like, yeah, I'm not giving him that money, right? So – They knew something that we didn't know. He shot out of the air, like you said, was never the same. But if I'm Saquon and I'm Jacobs, you know, I think that Jonathan Taylor is probably going to fall into that as well, with a young quarterback, especially trying to get him right. You need that running game, and he was also just ridiculous that rookie year. So I don't know. I think I hear what people are saying. You see these dudes uniting on Twitter and having each other's back. We're gonna see how this is gonna work out. I don't know if they're gonna get together and talk to some of their friends with some money and say, hey, we doing this for the, you know, for the cause and for each other. Like, I want to beat you when I see you on Sunday, but I want us all to get paid because we all know what we mean to our team. So I'm really interested to see how this plays out over this next month and a half, 2 months. But if I'm Saquon, for sure, I'm like, yeah, no. I'm going to let James Jones fall flat on his face. And he probably was just looking, thinking about Emmitt Smith that year where they start 0-2. And Jay was like, yeah, I got to get Emmitt his money. You might see something like that.
The problem with that is the Giants aren't that particular team. They go 0-2, which they probably will anyway. They're in trouble already. But what kind of a deal are you anticipating from Jacobs and the Giants running back?
Saquon.
What's it? Yeah.
Saquon.
What kind of deal are you expecting these guys to get?
Well, fair enough. They got to be somewhere in the Christian McCaffrey conversation, right? You got to be, you know, Christian McCaffrey's got the best contract in the league for running backs. And you look at what Saquon and Josh Jacobs have done this past season, they got to at least be in that ballpark, right? So that's the kind of money you're talking about. And if I'm not mistaken, I think McCaffrey is somewhere in the $16, $17 million year range. And I think that's
what Barkley's asking for.
And I think that's what Barkley wants, right? And the Giants have only been offering $13 to $14 million a season. And Barkley's got a valid point here, a valid case here to be in that price range. When you look at, he was the number one weapon in that offense. And McCaffrey, you can make a case that he was maybe the number one option, but you can also say that Deebo Samuel's the number one option in that offense, right? So it could be 1A, 1B. But in Saquon Barkley's case, there's no question he was the number one weapon in that offense. And in Josh Jacobs, you know, you got Devontae Adams there too. So it could be another 1A, 1B conversation. But in Saquon's case, he is the number one offensive weapon. That Giants team had Andre Peter and Gary Shaffer playing wide receiver. I mean, that's how horrible they were at the wide receiver position. And you could name those dudes at the receiver position. That's why they went out and got Darren Waller from the Raiders to give them another weapon on the perimeter.
And that's a shaky weapon, but he can't stay healthy for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Daniel Jones doesn't really scare anyone.
No,
so,
like Vic. No.
You know, so they're up in the box, and they're playing their best against their best player, which is Barkley. So that's what teams are doing, and he's still successful. So they better pay him. I hope they don't.
That's what you
said.
Think
about it, too, you talk about McCaffrey, he got that deal in Carolina, though, right? So, and when he got that deal, I believe he got signed that deal in Carolina. He was the number one option in Carolina. He was everything. He was touching the ball 20 times off the backfield. He was catching eight passes. So it's a very similar situation. I could see him comparing himself to that. And I mean, I feel Josh Jacobs was the engine for that Raiders team. There's going to be some running backs that are going to be delusional that think they should get that. Mm-hmm. Like Austin Eckler does a lot for the Chargers, but they have so many weapons on the outside that. You can make a case that he benefits from having those dudes to catch all that stuff underneath and not the other way around where him catching underneath opens it up for them outside. So I think that's where he caught himself in it, man, and had to back up off that, you know, that request. But, the Saquons and the Josh Jacobs and the McCaffreys, you got to – those dudes are once in a while show up if you get that money from Cleveland, right? He makes that offense go. But there are some people that just benefit from having, like, a Joe Mixon. He had a restructure because he benefits from having those weapons on the outside. And even though they don't pass block, I mean, run block as well as they should, he doesn't see a loaded box because you can't do that because of the option. So it's going to take some dudes who aren't in that situation, who aren't that guy, to understand what they're worth. But the dudes that are that guy, he should definitely hold out to get that McCaffrey money, if not more, because you're supposed to get more than the last dude. You're not really supposed to settle for what the last dude got.
And Saquon and Josh is
the only thing I would say to that would be is I think Pollard was smart. Pollard was smart to sign it because next year, if he doesn't do something really good this year, he may be they may be signing him for, you know, for a damn $6 million or $5 million contract. So he was smart to get to $10.1 million this year.
Well, in policy, you know, it was almost a no-brainer for him to sign it, right, because he was, what, a third or fourth round draft pick. And, I mean, so he wasn't making that kind of money in his first couple of years in the league. But in Jacobs and Barkley's case, they were both first-round picks, right? They're trying to get that next high-level contract. And, you know, by collective bargaining agreement rules, these three running backs now cannot sign a long-term deal until January 8th at the earliest now, so after the regular season ends on January 7th. I mean, I don't like the rule. I think it's stupid. I mean, why can't you continue to negotiate a long-term deal? Now you got to wait till January 8th. So, I mean, Barkley and Jacobs got a tough decision to make. Do you make the $10 million or do you sit out the whole season and lose $10 million? They're in a tough spot here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's crazy. And I guess it's interesting because if you're Marcus Allen had an interesting comment. He said he's very upset, you know, Hall of Fame running back, that just the severe undervalue of that position. And if I'm the running back, like you said, JQ, hopefully they're going to get together and say, hey, you know what, we're going to come up with a new set of running back. We're going to be weapons, right? You know, maybe we're Debo, maybe we're kind of wide receiver slash running back slash whatever. We can play all these positions and whatnot too. So that's, we got to get that position up. And it's kind of sad, you know, as far as the NFL is a copycat league. So you're hoping that it does kind of reverse it and it gets back to kind of having a solid running game. But didn't agree more with what everyone said. And let's kind of move really quickly. Just as a quick footnote, Leonard Fournette is actually working out for Gary's favorite team, the Patriots. So we'll see what happens with that, if something happens from that perspective too, you know, because, you know, right now Bill Belichick is in his feelings after losing, you know, DeAndre Hopkins. So we'll see if he can pull something out of there too. So anyway, let's move forward. Let's talk about some question marks for some teams. And this is the first part, right? So we got a couple question marks for a couple teams, right? So obviously Rob put the Bengals, Colts, Dolphins, and the Raiders. So, you know, I'm sure, you know, JQ can kind of slice
every team,
you know, for his team. But, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Rob.
No, I was going to say every team in the league has some type of question mark going into the season. So, no,
true,
we're just going to, hey, answer what are these teams, you know, question marks. Not to say that any of these teams are not contenders, but every
yeah,
team in the league
absolutely
has some type of question mark. Yeah.
Oh, I'm with you 100% too. Yeah, I got reason with that too. I was just basically saying, I know that JQ is going to talk about his Bengals for sure, and we can kind of go through that real quickly too, because I'm sure, you know, you probably have the longest list of question marks. But, you know, we'll go for you, JQ, and you'll start from that too. And you can kind of say if you want to tag whatever other teams as well too. So
yeah, no, I figured that I would just pass the other ones off. I figured the Bengals was going to be for me. To me, the number one thing is always that offensive line. We talked about it. You got to keep Joe Burrow healthy. Upright, he's got the weapons. If you give him the time, they can be dangerous. They can run the ball. If the offensive line will pass and run block. So to me, it's the offensive line first with a bullet. But right behind it is, to me, the question marks are what they do with the contracts. You got to get Joe Burrow signed. You got to get T. Higgins signed. You got to get Jamar Chase signed. You got to get those two guys signed. You also got Logan Wilson, linebacker, who's very important to that defense signed as well. So those contracts all coming up. You can only use one franchise. So you got to get some of those dudes signed here before the end of next year. So to me, that's the second piece of it. And the third piece of it for me as a Bengals fan is what kind of production they get from the defensive ends. Like we saw Buddy from Texas come on in the last year, you know, he had a bonehead play to give Kansas City that 15 yards and that. But, you know, Henderson and Hubbard, what are they going to do? I feel like the other pieces of the defense are solid, but you can't get after the passer and you can't speed his clock up. Rob just talked about it. Everybody's got at least one good wide receiver. Some of them got two. So some of them got three, right? So if you can't get to him, he's got all day to sit back there and pass that ball. You can only ask your cornerback to cover for so long in today's NFL where you can't hold and grab and knock somebody down in the secondary. So, again, for me, the Bengals is the offensive line, the contracts, and the defensive end spot.
Are you happy with
the
quarterbacks, JQ? Are you happy with the quarterbacks? Are you happy with the Rob, are you happy with the cornerbacks or no? And I'm not picking. I'm just asking the question.
No, I think they're fine. I think that, you know, but it's all predicated again too. Is if you don't have to have that quarterback be able to have another extra second, half a second of time, you can make your cornerbacks look really good if you can get a good pass rush, right? So they work hand in hand. So I think they're decent. They're good enough, but they got to get some help up front.
they've drafted a lot, and you know, JQ obviously knows the team better than all than we do. And they've drafted a lot of defensive backs over the last couple of years, so I think, you know, they're going to look for some of those players to step up, you know. And but if I had to just add one more piece, would be, it's kind of like what Andre mentioned, is the safety position. You lose both of your starters and Jesse Bates and Von Bell. And, I mean, like I said, they've drafted a lot of players over the last couple of years. So, you know, they're hoping that some of those guys can step right in. I mean, you drafted Jordan Battle from Alabama this past year. And, if he's not a starter, you know, maybe he could be some depth at the safety position. But, you know, I thought he was a steal in the draft. I think he's got a potential to be a starting strong safety in the league. Very smart football player. Didn't time the best. But when you watch him on tape, he's always in the right spot. Then, of course, they got Nick Scott, too. So, you know, we'll see how that. But to me, that was one of the question marks as well, just to replace those two safeties.
Well, for me, with the Bengals, the only thing that I saw that they needed was, you know, help with the O-line and to make sure that they have depth there and, you know, those guys step up and keep that quarterback upright. You keep a guy like Burrow upright with the weapons that he has, he'll be wearing some jewelry.
There it is. We talked about this last week, too, and we're going to briefly hit on a couple of these and we can kind of expound upon it. We're talking about the Colts, and we were talking about how the offensive line, that was just a dumpster fire last year, and they obviously get – you know, fire the coach, to get whatever the hell that was with Jeff Saturday. And now you have Anthony Richardson, which we talked about. He's a great human being. So we'll see how that offensive line is going to be definitely key going into the season because, you know, Jonathan Taylor, it was just, we don't know what the hell happened with that. Dolphins, I know we talked about questions with what's happening with Tua, right? Is Tua going to stay healthy, right? They got, obviously, Michael White from the Jets. And, you know, running game solid, you know, defense is solid. I think the question is going to be who's the quarterback, is Tua going to be the guy ready for that next step. Raiders, I mean, what the hell? Jimmy Garoppolo, that's the situation with him. And we were talking about earlier with Josh Jacobs. If he holds out, what the hell are the Raiders going to do? Because Jacobs led the league in rushing last year. So, you know, that's just kind of just on the surface for those teams too. So I don't know if you want to expound upon that. Go back around. We can kind of go Gary, then Rob, then, you know, JQ, if you will, kind of go from there.
Okay, well, with the Raiders, I put down quarterback, running back, and O-line. They're screwed. They're just screwed. If you don't have an O-line and you got a marginal quarterback and you don't have a running game.
Injury-prone marginal quarterback. Let's put that out there, too.
Right. You know, as far as the Colts, I thought the, you know, defensive tackle and cornerback depth is something that they needed, and of course the O-line. As far as Miami, quarterback healthy, of course, cornerback, tight end, and O-line. So those are the things that, and like Rob said earlier, you know, every team has got something. There's no team out there that doesn't.
The perfect team for now.
I mean, if you look at the Colts, obviously they're going into the season with a rookie quarterback, right? You know, can he take care of the football and play smart? We know he's going to run for some first downs and extend plays and things of that nature. Can he make some right decisions?
He's
going to
run a lot.
Yeah. Can he?
But they,
can he?
They got Gardner Minshew, don't they?
Yeah, as a backup. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I mean, I say that when you say that he's going to start. I wonder if they just throw him into the fire. Gardner's won some games. I mean, he's not going to be there for 3 years, but as a bridge quarterback, he may start depending on what it looks like in training camp. So they might not have to start.
That's true. Yeah. But even still, there are some questions at the quarterback position. But I know I won't elaborate too much on the Colts. I think you guys covered them. I think there's one thing that I will add to the Colts, and we touched on this, I believe, last week too, is the wide receiver position. They have Michael Pittman Jr. and practically no one else too. So who are they going to throw the football to? Right, and we debated on whether or not. Yeah, I guess so, right? That's who else they have.
Solid number two.
We talked about this last week that Michael Pittman, we didn't believe he was the number one. He's probably the number two at best, too. So your best receiver is probably a number two receiver with the Colts. So to me, that would be a question mark. And then when you talk about the Dolphins, I mean, you all touched on it already, Tua and his health, right? That's going to be a big question mark. And to me, that's the difference for them contending for a division championship, right, if Tua is healthy. But if there's another piece I will add for the Dolphins is the offensive line. Their offensive line really struggled last year, and they really didn't add any reinforcements this offseason. I think they added some reinforcements in a lot of other areas of their roster, but not the offensive line. So to me, and you got a quarterback who's injury-prone, and you didn't address the offensive line, to me was a huge question mark for the Dolphins. Now, I know they're going to try to have a quick passing game for him to get the ball out of his hands quickly, but I thought there should have been some investments into the offense. Yeah, absolutely. And the Raiders, I don't think I need to say anything else more. I think you guys covered it. Garoppolo and Josh Jacobs right now are the two biggest question marks.
Yeah, I'm with you. It sounds familiar because it sounds a lot like early Joe Burrow in that Cincinnati offensive line. Even though he had weapons out there, can you keep him upright? Can you keep him healthy? The Dolphins aren't far away. You go get Jalen Ramsey, you bookend him with Xavier Rhodes. Like, they got two very capable cornerbacks on that defense. They've got a lot of weapons on both sides of the ball. If Tua can stay healthy and feed that passing game, and you know that fool, the head coach, wants to run the ball from that San Francisco philosophy, they're one of the scariest ones of anybody you play that can just jump and just take a leap ahead of everybody else. If Tua stays healthy, Dolphins can be a problem.
We agree. Yep, I agree with you 100%. All right, let's talk about our teams here in our division here. And obviously, I'm going to talk about really briefly. I'll let you talk about the Cowboys and Saints, Rob and Gary, respectively. So for me, you know, talking about the Falcons, you know, obviously we know the biggest question mark is going to be Desmond Ridder. Is this dude going to be the guy, right? Because, again, we don't know what you're getting with him. So we added a lot of pieces, and obviously the defense is going to be a question. We talked about the key additions. We loved what we did, you know, getting Jesse Bates second from the Bengals. Sorry, JQ. We loved taking players from our rivals, and, you know, Caden Ellis and David Amimada. Loved getting him. We loved, again, getting Calais Campbell, and just some key moves. I'm loving what we did in free agency, too. We actually got Trey Flowers, too, JQ, so that's an interesting take just to kind of match up against some bigger wide receivers. So, you know, in the draft, so we love what we did. Love what we did here, and obviously the draft piece on Robinson. So, but the question mark is, we got all these weapons, can Desmond Ridder deliver? So that's the question mark for the Falcons, and we'll see what happens with that. 49ers, we're talking about, this is interesting too, because, you know, again, getting Javon Hargrove from the Eagles, that was a huge pickup. The question mark is still, is Brock Purdy going to be healthy? What's happening with Trey Lance, if you will? There's some situations that they're talking about him, you know, on the trade market, you know, but again, I think we were talking about it kind of too soon to give up on him, but we'll see what's happening with the 49ers, because right now they still have a solid running game, but who's going to be triggering is the question. The Rams, we talked about what the shit is going on with the Rams. Are they talking about, thinking about trading, you know, Stafford? You talk about a team that cashing all the chips and then now just like, you know, what the hell is happening with them too? So, again, didn't want to take a lot of time. I know, Rob, you're going to talk about the Saints, and Gary, you're going to talk about the Cowboys, and maybe you can kind of touch on that too. So go ahead, Rob, what are your thoughts about your teams and whatnot?
Yeah, I'll start with the Cowboys first and Gary's team. And when you look at the Cowboys roster, they're pretty stacked in a lot of areas from a talent perspective. And to me, the only question mark is the depth on the offensive line. And
head coach.
It's management style, right? But as far as the roster is concerned, it's all about the offensive line. And, you know, we talked about Zach Martin, but there's some other question marks on that line and some of the depth and, after the starters too. So to me, that's going to be an area to watch because they have pass rushers. They went out and got Mazi Smith from Michigan as the defensive tackle spot. They ensured they have the linebackers. They went out and enforce their secondary a little bit. And I think between the Cowboys and the Saints, they might have the two best secondaries in the NFC. And so, you know, the Cowboys are going to be right up there and have one of the elite secondaries when you look at their cornerback position and their safety positions. So on paper, they have a pretty stacked roster. Went out and got Brandon Cooks at the wide receiver position. And to a lesser degree, you can make the case that, you know, Dak Prescott taking the next step, you know, is that a question mark too? But I think the number one question mark besides offensive line and their coaching, those would be the top two question marks for me for the Cowboys going into the season. We look at the Falcons. I think Andre touched on it. Desmond Ridder, young quarterback, surrounded by a great offensive line, deep running backs. You know, maybe wide receiver depth could be a question mark behind Drake London. When you look at the Falcons, and then you also look at pass rush. And still a slight question mark at cornerback, too. They went out and signed the guys that have potential, but quite haven't lived up to their potential outside of A.J. Terrell. So I think when you look at them, you look at the quarterback position, depth at wide receiver, pass rusher, and additional cornerback will be some of the questions that you have for the Falcons. 49ers, who's going to be the quarterback? You know, who's going to be the starting quarterback? It seems like it doesn't matter, though, right? It seems like it won't matter.
It can't be Josh Johnson, though. It can't be Josh Johnson, though.
No, it can't be Josh Johnson.
What? No. Yeah. No. Hell no.
Yeah. It definitely can't be Josh Johnson. But, you know, I will say this about the 49ers is they lost some players on that offensive line. And, you know, that's been one of their strong points. You know, losing Mike McGlinchey to Denver, I think, is going to be a huge loss. And can you replace him? He's starting right tackle. Trent Williams is one of the best. Not only one of the best linemen in the game, he's one of the best football players, period, Trent Williams. I mean, he's versatile on the line. He can do a lot of stuff. I mean, he's dominant. But when you look across that line, there could be some question marks. So, to me, those are the only two question marks on the 49ers, the quarterback position and the offensive line. When you look at the Rams, I mean, you guys said it. I mean, Matt Stafford, you know, can he stay healthy, number one? Number two, there's still question marks on that offensive line. And when you look at their linebackers and their secondary right now, I mean, they got Jaquan Jenkins back there and some other dude from Cincinnati that grew up in his neighborhood playing back there. So, I mean, Raheem Morris is going to have his work cut out for him with that defense. I mean, he's still got Aaron Donald.
He's going to earn his paycheck.
But, but when you look at that back seven, this is linebackers in the secondary, does not have a lot of talent back there on that back end. And question marks for the Saints. Which Derek Carr are we going to get, right? You know, I think that's a question mark. I mean, obviously, I think it was a good pickup, but what question mark? I mean, what are you going to get from Derek Carr? I think offensive line depth is similar to the Cowboys. I think the starters for the Saints are good. But if you look at history, offensive line, football period, the most injured positions in football, offensive tackle and offensive guard. So you got to have depth on offensive line. So that's going to be the question mark for the Saints as well. And another question mark will be toward the end of the season, the Saints couldn't stop the run. So the interior defensive line, you went out and draft Brian Brise from Clemson. You went out and signed a couple of defensive tackles from the Jets and the Chiefs. To try to shore that up. So it's going to be interesting to see how that group's gels. And the last thing for the Saints, I would say depth at linebacker. I think their starters at linebacker are some of the best in the league, but they don't have a lot of depth at the linebacker position. And so those will be my question marks for the Saints going into the season.
What the hell with Alvin Kamara? What the hell is happening with that, bro? Come on, man.
It's a question mark, but
I'm messing with you, man.
They did show up some depth behind him, though, and you know, so I don't think that's a huge concern.
Well, for me, with the Cowboys, it's obviously the offensive line depth, and another one for me is the running back. You know, Paulo, this will be his first year, you know, as that Cowbell running back. And McCarthy's already said he's going to run the ball. But we'll see how that works out. We'll see how Pollard's health you know, how healthy he can stay. I have question marks on that. That's the biggest question mark for me on that, is Pollard's health, besides the kicking game. We need a field goal kicker. You know,
we left that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was
nobody knows
pretty bad
team,
last year. As far as Atlanta, you know, the I've got quarterback, the offensive line, and cornerback were their biggest needs. The 49ers are a really complete team, and they're well run. But they need a right tackle. And there's question marks as to whether how good their cornerbacks are going to be this year. But what I've read, they're either going to be really good or a disaster. There hasn't been too many in-betweens on their cornerbacks. And it's always a question with when you're dealing with a quarterback situation with a couple of quarterbacks at the 49ers have, that they're going to probably at some point or another switch around, and I don't know how all that's going to play out. With the Rams, O-line, quarterback, left tackle, of course, linebacker, but the one thing that really stands out is their punter, their kicker, and their long snapper are all unrestricted or undrafted rookies. So that's that's huge. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's huge. New Orleans, you know, Carr, of course, which Carr is going to be, you know, he can be phenomenal. He can really be one of the top quarterbacks in the league for that day. Then the next time he goes out, maybe not so much. So can they keep him consistent and upright, because I think they need some offensive line depth. And last year, I think it was the offensive coordinator, you know, I think that what kind of game plan are they going to do this year with their, you know, with their offense? How they're going to attack these teams? How are they going to change up their game plans, you know, at halftime? There was some question on that that I read today on the Saints with their offensive coordinator.
But he had Andy Dalton last year.
Damn. I thought he was going to win the Falcons.
Okay, that might have been a problem. Slight problem there.
Go ahead, Jakey. Yeah.
But we got the same offensive coordinator from the Sean Payton days.
Yeah, I've touched on it all. I don't think I need to add anything to that.
There it is. All right.
Oh, I got Naj coming in. Let's get it. Yo, yo, yo. Hold on. What up, Naj?
Oh, man. Reporting live from outside the liquor store, waiting on this Uber. What's going on? I've been overserved, and then I had to stop to pick up something because it wouldn't serve me no more. One of those nights.
Boy, you are
no.
He's coming in hot.
The quality of TGI Fridays has gone down.
At least you're taking the Uber now.
Man.
Right.
Yeah,
we're
man.
Just happy that you're keeping
right.
it safe, man. Everyone should follow Naj's example, America. Athletes, get a damn Uber. You don't need to be driving. Hey, Naj, we got about 15 minutes in the show here. We are basically going over some quick question marks for a couple of teams here. We have the Cowboys, Falcons, 49ers, Rams, and Saints. So I don't know if you wanted to kind of jump into that really quickly before we talk about throwback jerseys or the top five throwback jerseys in the NFL. So I don't know if you want to talk on that really quickly, my guy.
Man, with those teams, like JQ was just saying, like, I mean, y'all pretty much hit on everything because it's so thin.
Yeah.
But the idea of bringing in, like, rookies and all of that for your whole special teams unit, that sounds kind of crazy, like as far as, you know, kicking and everything. Shout out to Dre, because I know he'll remember. There was a time a Falcons coach got the bright idea that we was going to have a kicker slash punter, and that was just going to work for the whole season, and nobody was going to come after him and try to knock him out the game. So, yeah, man, That's crazy, though.
Yeah.
But I think y'all
we'll need to go back to those days, man. That was crazy.
Well, you saw.
That was a good decision.
You saw what happened, yeah, to the Bengals in that first game of the season when they lost their long snapper 15 years and they had to bring a dude in that had never done it. He missed the extra point. He missed two field goals, and they lost that first game. So you put a rookie, a whole rookie unit in there. Good luck.
Right?
That was an interesting fact. So thanks for sharing that, Gary. I wasn't even aware of that with the Rams. All three of them were rookies? Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy. Especially the coordinator said, man, y'all trying to get me fired. I quit.
Undrafted.
No, go ahead.
Undrafted. So we're not
undrafted. Yeah, undrafted is 10 times worse because that just means you saying we smarter than everybody. Don't nobody else know what they're doing.
Right. It is. Yeah. That's what they're saying.
Shout out to, remember this Gary Curtis when he was talking about we got like 11 guys, was it 11 free agents or something like that? And then whenever Curtis was talking about that back in the day, I just remember that comment. Whenever he was like,
I think it like, Eagles had like 39 street creations.
Yeah.
39 people off the practice squad.
But it kept going up every week.
Crap. 540 or whatever it was. That was hilarious. Interesting question for the top, really quickly, the top five throwback jerseys. I do want Rob to definitely talk about the top five wide receivers, though. So if we can keep this pretty quick, that would be really amazing because USA Today had this.
Ooh.
And,
ooh, me.
Yeah, go ahead, Jackie.
Ooh, well, you know where I'm going with number one, the powder blue babies of the Chargers. You already knew that's where I was going for number one. Those things are so clean.
Yeah.
I was always a fan of the Oilers jerseys, with you know with the oil thing on the helmet. I'm gonna go with the Bucks and the cream, sickle. I know I'm out there by myself, but I love that cream sickle. The Falcons. Yeah. That Falcons one, that Dion one, you know, with the blank and the Falcon on the side. Got to get a Falcon some love. And I know I'm another one we got here. That Randall Cunningham green Philadelphia Eagles jersey with that green one with the silver eagle on the side. I know, Gary, that you hated it. Ooh, that thing was sick. Yes, sir, loved it. Those are my five.
Yeah, my top three, JQ, believe it or not, you and I – totally agree. Maybe not in the same order. I had the Houston Oilers, those light blue jerseys, man. They were sweet. That's my number one. Number two, the creamsicle. I would never buy it because they're Buccaneers. And I had a vision with my Saints. But I got to give credit where credit is due. Those are some sweet-looking jerseys, but I'll never buy it. But that's number two. And number three is the Chargers powder blue. And my last two are a little different. Number four, I got the Seahawks blue jerseys with the Seahawks on the side.
I have a Seahawks.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was number four. And believe it or not, I liked the Patriots red jerseys back in the day. And so that's
those
my number five with the little with the Patriot on the side like he's hiking the ball. And
yeah, that's
so that
before they cheated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So those are my five.
I don't have a five.
He said all the cowboy ones.
Cowboys. You know, we agree with that too, Rob. I had the Seahawks too, and obviously the Falcons. I actually had one where I liked the old school Dolphins jerseys with like a little bit the official like ones with the Dan Marino ones. I thought those were pretty dope. If you will too.
Okay.
So you know, again, I'm gonna give a shout out to the Dolphins for that too. Yeah, you guys can keep the creamsicle, man. That's just, I mean, I know it's kind of like what everything
I have,
like that,
I have
I'm
one.
Glad they changed it that pewter. Yeah,
I never bought
like
it, but
I
have
like,
to
admit
it.
It was like, ugh. Yeah.
I went to school in Florida, and I went to the thing and said, ooh, that's nice, and Dad sent me the money, I bought one. Like, I was spoiled. So, yeah, that's how I got it, but because I was in Florida when I bought it.
I like
I
those two Saints
like,
black and gold jerseys, too, but that would have been too obvious. I didn't put them in my
Yeah, come on, man.
You ought to call me a homie.
Yeah, you could Yeah, you can't forget that.
Call,
come on.
The
we
Rams,
call
remember
Andre
the old school Rams jerseys? JQ mentioned it first, though, so I was just going to be like, yeah, I'm right there, too. But I remember, like, the Rams, the old school, like, the Rams, you know, uniforms, like, whenever Henry Ellard, man, back in the day, you had
Eric Dickerson,
those are good uniforms, man. Do you have anything to say about that really quick, Nash?
No, I mean, everything JQ said, the Randall joint, the Warren Moon joint. Oh, shout out to the homie back at the crib, homie Gizzo. He had an Indianapolis Colts throwback jersey. and he wore it to every event until he was roasted to the point to where he never wore the jersey again.
Nice.
You know what?
Wow.
I had the white Oilers one. I had a Steve McNair one.
Oh, yeah. That was the guy. That's a good one. Man.
Mm-hmm.
That's good stuff. I'm just like reminiscing here. All right, we don't want to spend too much time on that. We can literally go for days. Hey, Rob, let's get to the top five wide receivers in the 2024 NFL draft and kind of what we're looking at, too. I know JQ's going to be happy because there it is. Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be the number one guy, maybe the top, probably the second pick in the draft. But, Rob, after that, talk about that and what you have as far as is it a deep draft for wide receivers or kind of where we're going into 2024?
Well, going into it is actually a pretty deep group, the wide receiver position. But Marvin Harrison Jr. is the lead by himself. I mean, he could definitely go one or two depending on who gets the number one pick in the draft. He's by far the best receiver in his draft. So he's in the lead by himself, so we don't have to spend a whole lot of time there. But actually, number two is from Ohio State, too, a Mecca. And, he's the number two receiver, a 4.4 40, 6'1", 205 pounds. It's quick. He's a great yak threat as well. So, I mean, he's at the number two spot. Number three is Rome Odunze, wide receiver from Washington in the Pacific Northwest, 6'3", 211 pounds, also a 4.4 40 as well. Averaged 15.3 yards a catch last season. Number four, after Ohio State, Florida State might have the next best group of wide receivers in the country. And number four is Keon Coleman, 6'4", 215 pounds, great size, 4.5, 40-yard dash. You know, he put up almost 800 yards and 7 touchdowns at Michigan State with no quarterback. So just imagine what he's going to do with Florida State playing with Jordan Travis. Let's go down to the Bayou. Number five, Malik Nabers will be the best wide receiver in the SEC this year from LSU, 6 feet, 195 pounds. Built like he's 210 pounds. So he's the number five. And my two honorable mention guys, Johnny Wilson from Florida State and Dorian Singer from USC.
You know I ain't got nothing for it. I love one and two. That's all I care about.
We figured you would.
You love it.
Oh,
all right. We got to pass it around because I know we got like a couple minutes here. I know we can maybe spend 5 or 10 minutes in OT unless you want to drop it off real quickly. What do you want to talk about? The floor is yours. I'm curious, Naj. We talked about there's a couple topics. Embiid wants to win now. Top five players in the SEC, Lakers and Bulls, and after Christian Wood. And which college produces the top defensive backs is kind of on the table here besides Shohan Ohtani's record-breaking years and what's like, is he a favorite to be traded? So that's what we have going into the last part of the show, too. So I don't know if you want to tackle that. Gary, I'm going to leave it on you. And we got about 3 minutes till the OT portion kicks, too, man. So go ahead, my guy.
Well, I'll talk about the Dame situation.
That's what I was going to tell you, yep.
The latest proposal is from the Heat is Dame and Nurkic and a first-round pick via Phoenix to the Heat. The Blazers get Lowry and Dinwiddie and the 2024 first-round pick via Miami and pick swaps in 26, first-round pick swaps in 26, 28, and 30 from Miami. And the next get Hero and Caleb Martin. That's the last
one.
That's
a 14 trade. Huh? Is that Phoenix?
Wow.
Blazers and the Heat?
Yeah. No, well, Phoenix is it's their draft pick. Teams that have been interested in the Blazers that have made pitches are OKC, Utah, the Nets, Spurs, 76ers, Clippers, Toronto, and the Knicks, other than, you know, Miami.
Wow.
The one that I liked the best was OKC because they've got a lot of
They got like 17 first round picks in like the next 10 years
on,
or some wild shit.
What the hell? Come on.
Yeah.
Is that the NFL? Okay.
Well, no. But if you're OKC, okay, that's what you have to do. Yeah, but I'm saying, but if you're OKC, you're not going to sign nobody. Yeah. But if you get all of those first round picks, you're going to have to trade for a disgruntled superstar if you're Oklahoma City, because it'd be hard to get them to join in via free agency. So I get the plan of what they were doing, of how they were going to build their team. Yeah, but Dan, like, yeah, I retire tomorrow. I don't really have one in here. I'll just say that this whole Christian Wood thing is crazy. Like, they're talking about this dude like he's the Akeem Olajuwon. Let's just pump the brakes. Like, if they sign him, that's great and everything, but, like, we don't have to have Bleacher Report stories, and, you know, I don't got to be getting tweet alerts about, are we going to get Christian Wood? He's Christian Wood, okay? He's bounced around for a reason. He helped the Lakers, sure. But am I going to cry if he goes to the Bulls? No. If you go to the Bulls, and you don't want to win anyway. So there's that.
I wasn't saying it was bad. Talent to get all this picks. It was a joke. That's all I'm trying to say. You know, I'm just saying it sounds like they got like,
yeah, no, just,
30
was,
picks. It seems like, you know. Yeah, I got you. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm good. Come on, Robert.
Good, Nash. You got anything, Nash?
Oh, no, I didn't jump in. Yeah, I didn't want to jump in. if I'm Portland, I'm turning all that stuff down. To me, it's just going to be a stare-off between Portland and Miami. And eventually, Pat Riley and company are just going to have to come up off the young assets. You got to give them Jovic, Caleb Martin, whatever other young guys they want. Trade Tyler Hero somewhere else and bring back a first rounder and add that to the package, and you're good to go. Like, all that other stuff, man. And this is the other part. It's important for Portland to keep the relationship with Dame just as much as it is for him. Because when all this is over and he finishes up his tour in Miami, you bring him back on a veteran men to keep the crowd in there as Scoot takes over and becomes the franchise guy. And then he moves up into the front office or whatever, and he's shaking hands and kissing babies for the next 30 years making money for the Trailblazers. Like, winning the deal is not more important than that. So just take all their young assets, all their draft picks, and keep it pushing.
Yeah, you're not going to ever get equal value for them.
Right. You're just not. So just take them for everything, bro. Take them. And Pat Riley, stop being stingy. Because if they stay on that phone with Danny Ainge too long, ain't no telling what's going to happen.
Well.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you guys recognize the music at the end of our live portion on tonight. We're going to be back at you Monday next week. It's going to be at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Atlanta, we want to hear from y'all. What's going on with the Braves after the series with the Arizona Diamondbacks? We want to hear from y'all at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Central Time Zone, Chicago, Kansas City. I want some barbecue, KC. It's going to be 10 p.m. Central Time Zone. Mountain Time Zone, Denver, Salt Lake. It's going to be 9 p.m. And then West Coast. Portland, Seattle, L.A., and Big Q's favorite city, Fresno. It's going to be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for you guys. He liked that Jackson, Mississippi. It's California.
You're so stupid.
Good night, people.
Hey,
KC,
you
got to
do it,
Joe.
No charges. Since we talked about the throwbacks, you got to do it today. Let us find a blue charge jersey.
You're nice.
Good stuff.
Wow.
All right, Rob, kick it to your thing, man. Before we get to you, talk about what you want to talk about, if you will, before we wrap this thing up.
I'm going to talk about the top five players in the SEC going into the college football season.
Shocker.
I'm going to start with Georgia here, number one. Brock Bowers, tight end from Georgia. I got him as a number one player. Big-time weapon for them going into the season. They're going to have a new starting quarterback, probably more than likely Carson Beck. Be a safety blanket for him. He has all the makings of being a top 10 pick in this NFL draft. Number two, let's go down to the Bayou, Harold Perkins, linebacker who can rush the passer. They move around the field. He played middle linebacker. He can rush the passer. He'll be a sophomore this year. Had a tremendous true freshman season last season. He's the number two player. And number three, probably the greatest name in college football, Kool-Aid McKinstry, cornerback at Alabama. Yeah, got him at the number three spot. And then at number four, another player from Alabama. J.C. Lockton, offensive lineman, probably might be, at this point, might be the best offensive lineman in the draft all next year. So we got another player from Alabama. And then number five, last but not least, going back to the Bayou, defensive tackle Mason Smith from LSU. Have him at the number five spot. So those are my top five players, all potential first-round picks. Harold Perkins is a sophomore, though, won't be draft eligible. But the other guys should all be first-round picks in next year's draft.
Good stuff. I wanted to say this before we wrap up, and this is interesting, too. If you've kind of been reading the comments, especially on CBS Sports, talking about Joel Embiid, and he's talking about he wants to win a championship now. And he says in Philly or anywhere else. And I think that's interesting because he had everything that's happening. And you know, it's just crazy. Like, Philly's probably kicking themselves because they traded away Jimmy Butler. You kind of think you talk about, like, the mistaken epic proportions, and if you will. But what does it mean really quickly for that? Is he wants to win now, and, you know, Harden trying to make an exit, trying to play for the Clippers. Is Philly in trouble?
Well, yes. They're in trouble because they're going to have – oh, my bad.
Go ahead. Oh, I don't know who wants that.
Go ahead, Nash.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to jump the line, man. They're in trouble because they're going to have a hard time offloading Harden. They got to get somebody to take Harden in a reasonable trade, and you're trying to pair Joel with something so you can be a contender going forward with Maxey, but it just doesn't look like they have enough. And as far as Joel – Joel just likes to talk sometimes, man. So that's just Joel talking. Like, dude, you didn't perform like you needed to because you wanted to chase that MVP and wore yourself down at the end of the season while Joker was resting, and Joker was ready for the real minutes, and your body was falling apart. So get that together first, and then go talk to Mandy.
There it is.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't have said that better. I mean, Nob was absolutely right there. I mean, Embiid played, I was calling him M-Bum the way he played in that series against the Celtics.
Damn.
I mean, that was horrible, you know, the way he was playing, especially down the stretch in those last two games. And like I said, I gave him a new nickname, M-Bum. It was awful. He's part of the reason why they're not advancing in the playoffs. As great as he is, as dominant as a big man that he can be, he's got to carry them over to the next level. Daryl Morey's come out and said, hey, we're not trading James Harden unless we get another elite player that's going to keep us a contender. So I wouldn't
sure
be surprised if they hold on to him, right? They don't have nothing to lose. You know, Harden ain't going to sit up the season, man. It's not $10 million that Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs are. It's $30-something million dollars, guys. And he's under contract.
Yeah.
So he's got to play. And he's playing for another contract. So –
And he likes to go to the titty bar.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Gotta have the money. Well, yep. Listen, you know it's true. You got to have James. Man, when they retire your jersey at the strip club, like, come on, bro. I think for Embiid, they did. They put his thing in the rosters at the strip club in Houston.
Yeah, it's true stuff. We know it's true. We know it's true. That's what we're laughing at. Like, damn. Good.
Yeah. I mean, that happens. But what I think about Embiid is this. This is just a superstar telling his team, don't take me for granted. I want to win a championship here or anywhere else. He said, don't think I'm going to stay here forever unless you keep messing up these moves, Jimmy Butler's and stuff like that. You got Maxey. We need to keep him. I hear what you're saying about his performance. And also comes with growth. This dude's actually playing games. Remember before, we didn't even know if this dude was going to be MVP because he couldn't stay on the court. So for me, that's a lot of progression for Embiid to where he was, where we thought he was busting out to where he is now. So if he kind of keeps on that progression, I'm going to give him somewhat of the benefit of the doubt. But to me, this is just a star player telling management, don't get comfortable. Don't take me for granted. You better keep making moves, Daryl Morey, and putting people around me to get us close to this championship because I might leave your ass. That's how I took it.
There it is.
Yeah, I think the Sixers are on a downslide right now. And it's just going to get worse. And I think Joel Embiid, I think he senses that with the loss of Butler, how he played, how the team played in the playoffs. It's not going to be any better this next year unless they make some sort of moves. And I don't think they're going to be able to make any significant moves
So it
is what it is. And he's going to end up wanting out.
Yeah. And you know the one player, the a piece that this team is really missing? They are really missing an elite athletic wing. And when you look at the teams who you're competing with in the Eastern Conference, the Celtics have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, right? Two athletic freaks on the wing. The Sixers don't have anybody that can compete with them in those two positions. Harden is slow and fat. Tyrese Maxey is only about 6'3 or 6'4, can shoot the ball. They don't have an athletic wing that can match up with them, right? That's a pain point for them right now. They need at least someone. They need a 3-and-D kind of player, a 6'7", 6'8", elite athlete that can knock down threes and defend. That's what this team is really missing for them to contend for a championship. I think if they can get one or two of those kind of guys, they can win with Harden, Maxey, and Embiid. But that's an area where they're lacking right now on their roster. And then, of course, you play against the Heat, you got to deal with my Jimmy Butler, right? And so and we can't forget the Milwaukee Bucks. You got the same kind of player like that in Giannis, right? So they need an athletic wing to compete with these, you know, these wings that they have in the Eastern Conference, and that's what they don't have.
Couldn't have said it better ourselves. All right, gentlemen, it's been another great edition talking sports. Naj, appreciate you jumping in. I hope you made it safely.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for taking Uber. And, again, as Rob said, stay tuned. I'll probably text you, Naj, as far as what night we're going to be on because we don't know. One night, sometime next week, we will have a consensus and we'll get a chance to join and whatnot. And stay tuned. Yeah, like I said, Naj, before the show, looking forward to that Facebook Live. It's going to happen sooner than later. And that's going to be a whole nother situation for sure. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Gentlemen, have a great rest of your week. There's a rumor that
the
Williams jersey is retired.
You're going to be on Facebook Live from the liquor store now.
Oh, man.
It ain't my fault, man. They didn't give me nothing else. I had to go somewhere else, man. I had to do it.
Hey, man, as long as you're staying safe. Gary, you hope that you are safe. Everything goes well with packing, man. I know that's a huge challenge, so keep us in the loop far as that. Yeah, everything like that.
Never
for sure.
Fun.
So,
we've made offers on three homes, and we've all cash offers, and we've been beat out three times.
Tough market right now.
Yeah.
Here we go. You're probably getting beat by the algorithm.
My mom's saying, I think we're going to be homeless. We'll find something, Mom. We always have the motor home.
I'm going to say, you got the camper.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That was a good investment.
What are you shooting?
Might
have
to stay over JT's for a while.
What were you saying, Rob? That's funny. What are you saying, Rob?
Gary, what are you shooting for? The Orlando area?
North of Tampa and north of Orlando, and then in my old neighborhood, you know, in St. Cloud, those areas we're kind of looking at.
Cool.
We may be fairly close
to
you. What's that?
I said you you moved to Ocala.
Well, that was that last house we looked at, and we lost out on it.
I know a little too much about this, and I'm going to Winter Haven. Okay, I'm getting out there. We're going to stop. I'll just keep naming.
you better watch yourself.
Happy your anniversary, Big
Hugh. All right, man.
Happy
appreciate it, bro. Thank you, sir.
All right,
appreciate you guys.
Next week. Be good, man.
Talk to you later. Bye, y'all.
Good night.